live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles
and Rami
on Sacktown Sports.
That's the show. Hour number three underway. Cattles still out. Jay in for Nick Cattles. Kyle on the other side of the glass on those ones and twos. Simone on your sports updates over there, helping out on the other side of the glass as well. This Jimmy G thing keeps getting weirder. We'll get to that coming up at 4:30. But huge news out of the NBA today. World-changing news. Well, not world, but basketball world-changing news in the NBA today. Bob Myers stepping down as the president and general manager of the Golden State Warriors. Here he was explaining exactly why he made that decision earlier today.
But this is tough. This is hard. I have emotions that I'm still processing. But the bottom line is this job, the one I'm in, and I would say this for any professional general manager or coach, requires complete engagement, complete effort, 1,000%. And if you can't do it, then you shouldn't do it. And so that's the answer to the question of why I can't do that to our players. I can't do that to Joe and Peter. Really, I can't do it to myself. And that's a question I've been wrestling with. Appreciate your patience letting me make that decision. Everybody in this room, you know, I've only known how to do things one way my whole life, is kind of all the way. And it doesn't feel right to do something when I can't give it everything. And that's what it takes to do what we've done over the last, for me, 12 years.
So he says just not a lot of gas left in the tank. He feels like he should step out of the way and let somebody else do the job. I understand there's probably some of that there, just burnout. You know what I mean? With the demands and the intensity of that job and everything that comes with it. But Jay, I also think there is a tough situation coming up for the Warriors. I'll just read you from Adrian Wojnarowski's piece today on Bob Myers stepping down. He says the Warriors are approaching a difficult crossroads with a payroll and luxury tax that could approach a historic $500 million in 2023-24 without hard decisions made on the future of key players, including Green and Thompson. Here was Kevin Joe Lacob earlier today commenting. Finger slipped there.
Well, I was getting ready for the Lacob sound. I hit the Kevin Durant saying Kevin Herter.
I've been there. Here is Joe Lacob, the Warriors owner, talking about the financial situation that they face right now.
We have a lot of work to do, obviously, and we have time. We have until the draft and free agency, which is, you know, a month away or so. So we're going to win no matter what. I don't care what the rules are. We are going to figure out a way to do it. That's what good organizations do. They figure out a way to win the game. And our game is to win games and to win championships. And you know, when we came here, this ownership group 13 years ago, we made a ridiculous proclamation about winning within 5 years. And, of course, somehow we managed to do it, all of us, players and everybody involved. And we've continued to win. And look, the rules will change in the game, but we'll continue to do that.
And JJ, he says, no matter how the rules change, we will continue to win. He didn't say, I will pay that historic $500 million in payroll luxury tax if indeed it should come to that. I think you read between the lines a little bit, and maybe I'm reading a little bit too much between the lines. He's saying, look, we're not going to spend that kind of money, but within the parameters of the CBA and not paying that luxury tax, we will win. And I think Bob Myers was looking at this thing, and with what we just heard, and we talked about it earlier in the show, of, you know, just a little burnout setting in and how hard the job can be, I think that was a factor in him looking out over the horizon and seeing that he might have a very difficult, if not impossible, job to match, recreate, live up to what he's done already as the president and general manager of the Golden State Warriors. And he knows Joe Lacob ain't shelling out $500 million in luxury tax. So he's getting out before things start to go bad, before that thing starts to crumble right there and it starts reflecting badly on Bob Myers and the legacy that he's built in Golden State and what that might mean for the next job in terms of any stink he might have on him once that thing falls apart. I think there's a good possibility Bob Myers is getting out of this thing before it blows the hell up, Jay, which is would be a very, very good thing for the Sacramento Kings and the rest of the Western Conference.
Yeah, and if that's the case, if he is doing it, then that's a sucker move. Sucker move. You don't want to put these cats in this harm, right?
Yes.
You don't want who created these contracts and these deals, and you've been around for the last, as he said earlier, in the piece, 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I know it's a tough situation to have to sign Kevin Durant, Jordan Poole, and keep Clay, the big three together, pay Steve Kerr, bring in the veterans. But if that is the truth, then you bailed out when the time got rough and you bailed. And so now I'm going to look at you a little different. So I'm hoping that's not the way.
But I mean, when he put all this together, he didn't know what the new CBA would look like in terms of these penalties, these because they're really, really
stiff.
Ramping up the luxury tax penalties.
Because of the Warriors.
Exactly.
Yeah, they were thinking of calling it the Joe Lacob tax.
Right.
So he didn't know that. He didn't know Joe Lacob wouldn't be willing to go that deep into his pockets.
Nah, I'm pretty sure he knew Lacob wasn't going to pay $500 million. I disagree with that.
I mean, I don't even know if that was even out there, that he'd have to pay $500 million. You know what I mean?
But I also think, too, Rami, they've been over the cap quite a bit. And they've definitely, you know, Joe Lacob has pledged a lot of money. And I'm pretty sure he told, look, there's a point in time where we're going to factor in the profits compared to what I'm paying out. And there's got to be a maximum. There's got to be a ceiling. If you don't think Bob Myers knows the ceiling, then that whole organization has been fooling everybody.
Now, what I will say is kind of a sucker move on Bob Myers' part is not necessarily bailing because they're stuck with those contracts. I think that Bob Myers had a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And remember we had heard like, oh man, they're putting together back-to-back dynasties.
Sure.
With Kuminga and
Moody
and
Wiseman.
Which they should have
signed
ball.
Jordan Poole to the big contract.
Which they shouldn't have.
That's all kind of blown up in his face.
Right.
You know what I mean? And this, we were just talking about Marvel during the break in phase 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Phase 2 of the Warrior Dynasty is not looking as certain as maybe it did a year or two when they stockpiled all these lottery picks and Jordan Poole was looking like a guy who could be one of the like new core of this team and the new dynasty moving forward. I think that kind of blew up in his face. Plus the $500 million in luxury tax if they want to keep the old dynasty together. And he's looking at this and just going, I don't know any way out of this. This is about to get bad.
This seems like a cash
grab. Let me get out of here before things get bad.
And blame it on my mental. I get it. Nothing wrong with that. Look, if for what he is saying, and I'm only taking what he's saying at face value, there's got to be more factors, small and big. But if he's saying he's burnt out and he can't give it his all and he can't, you know, go any further in the way he is operating, then I'll take that. Now, I like where you're going with it, Rami. I do think there's something to he wants to get out while on top and not fill the bottom. He doesn't want to, you know, bottom out. So I think that's part of it, too, because if they were in a little more better cap position or if they won it again, maybe he would come back. There was talk even after they won last year that Bob was like, I might not be coming back or be around too much longer. So I think this is something that's kind of been on the doorstep for him. And I think the big three and Steve Kerr has probably tried to talk him into staying around because they've been around since he's been around. But for the Kings and for the West, the door is open.
Yes, sir.
It is wide open. The window is open.
The witch is dead.
Yes,
sir.
And the Warriors, they've been bitten. They're showing that they're not the Teflon Don. There's some things that you can kind of rip and tear apart, and we've seen the Kings push them to 7, right? And De'Aaron had a hurt hand, and Domas didn't play the best, and Kevin Herter didn't show up in many games. And, you know, we can go on and go on. Keegan was left on the side for quite a bit of time, even though he didn't show up in the first couple of games as well. But I say that to say, for the Kings and the West, the only team I truly can see being around, and I'm going to build a window 4 or 5 years, is probably Denver. Everybody else probably has a year or two left, and like I could see them winning the championship. The Clippers, the Warriors, the Suns, everyone else for me.
Memphis.
I don't know. I don't know, depends on what Ja.
Yeah, I'm not sure. In Memphis.
Yeah, Dylan Brooks is gone. We don't, who knows what's going on with Ja Morant? Dwayne, you know, Bane is out there, but Steven Adams a little longer in the tooth. You know, Brandon Clark was hurt. I mean, there's some things out there where it's like I'm not sold on them the next 5 years. Beyond that, a lot of people looking at OKC. Of course, Wembanyama going down to the Spurs changes everything. Mm-hmm. We still got to see him play, though.
And if I'm Bob Myers and I'm looking out over that horizon, Jay, and the Poole, Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman plan ain't really working. Yeah, man, I'm not going to keep trudging. If I look out on the horizon, it's just desert.
Yeah.
I'm just going to lay down and post die.
Up.
Exactly. If there's no green
cool palm trees,
no green pastures out there, what am I going to keep on trudging for, man? No.
You'll take your chances here.
I'm just going to walk away. I'm just going to build a little shelter or something and just hang out here.
Kings have an opportunity, Rami.
Absolutely.
As does a lot of the people in the West.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, out East. Dude, does the Eastern Conference have an opportunity? Is it time to break up these Celtics? We'll discuss right after this.
One brings Maklof magic, while the other, we're still trying to figure that out.
Cattles and Rami.
Sacktown Sports.
That's the show. Cattles out, okay. Rami in. Jay in for Cattles.
Is this Simone on the ones and twos? Or?
I picked this one.
Okay, yeah, I see you working.
Thank you.
Baby.
This didn't feel like a Kyle.
No.
What are you saying, Rami?
I'm just saying, this didn't feel like a Kyle selection. That's all I'm saying.
Kyle, do you know Toni Braxton?
Sure.
There you go.
Coming up at 4:45, one of my favorite segments on the show that we do every week, They Said What? At 4:30, this Jimmy G thing keeps on getting weirder.
But we still got to talk about Jimmy G?
It just keeps on.
I thought I shook him by now.
Nah, more and more wrinkles to that whole thing and his foot injury out there in Las Vegas. But we were just talking about, you know, potential opportunity out West with the Warriors possibly starting to fall apart with Bob Myers stepping down today. Jay, this Celtics team, I mean, they make little changes here and there. They added Malcolm Brogdon, who we'll hear from in just a second. But as far as the main pieces, it feels like they've been trying to get to the mountaintop forever with the Tatum and Brown and Horford and these main guys that they have there, and they just can't finish the job. They keep on coming up short. And you do have to ask yourself the question, like, will this ever work, or do we have to shake it up if you're the Celtics? Do you have to break up this core? This was Jason Tatum after the disappointing 103-84 loss yesterday.
To win a championship? I mean, we've shown that we can get there. We get to the conference finals. It's my fourth time in 6 years. And been to the finals once, and, you know, we had a special opportunity this year. We just fell a little bit short. It's not like we're not capable. We don't have the talent. You know, we do. You know, it just didn't go our way this year. And you know, we didn't play well enough to win this series.
I always caution fans, if a team or a guy has one shot at winning a championship and he doesn't, folks want to fire somebody or trade somebody or have some sort of major shakeup or something, I will say, just because they didn't doesn't mean they couldn't. Mm-hmm. You know, there is a timeline somewhere where they got the job done. They put together a team good enough to win a championship. Just a lot of things have to fall in place, and only one team is holding the LOB at the end of the season. Just because they didn't doesn't mean that they couldn't.
That's, you know, right.
But when you try and try and try again, even though the talent looks good on paper and everything else, you do get to a point where you're like, this combination just ain't unlocking this safe.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And you got to try something else.
It's the locksmith.
Are we at that point with this Celtics team, or are you going to give it one more run and see if Mazzulla, second-year head coach, pick his own staff, everything else that goes with it, maybe they can crack the code next year and figure this thing out?
If I was in the Boston Celtics position, I'd probably run it back one more and tinker with the small pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you can. One of the things for me, and this is as watching the Kings, you know, the King this season, when the Kings played the Warriors, the one thing a person can always say is, well, De'Aaron wasn't 100% at the end. Mm-hmm. And most people would point to a couple of turnovers that he had, a couple of shots. Well, if De'Aaron was 100%, that probably doesn't happen. I think a lot of Celtics fans would probably lean on the fact that Jason Tatum had a bum ankle. I would venture to kick back and say, well, Gabe Vincent did too. Mm-hmm. You know? The other part for me, if I'm a Celtic fan, is Joe Mazzulla stepped in because of the Ime Udoka stuff early in the season. 34 years old. He's learning on the job.
I mean, we were literally, what, within a week or two of the NBA season starting when that whole thing happened?
And you brought him from the front, from the back of the bench to the front, and, yes, and had him skip over a few people. And so I think that's part of it, too. You also had Damon Stoudemire, who was a, you know, assistant associate head coach, and he jumped down to go to college, take a head coaching spot, you know, during the season. And so I think there's a few small pieces that the Celtics fans and the organization can hang their hat on and say, well, you know, if the Ime thing doesn't work, we probably make it to the finals. If, you know, if Jason Tatum doesn't sprain his ankle, we probably beat him in game 7, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a few small things I would tamper with and run it back one more time. But I think kind of like in the Bob Myers situation is you have to give yourself a finality to it. If it doesn't happen next year, then yeah, I'm switching it up a little bit. I might run it back one more time and tinker. Like Robert Williams is not a guy you can run out there 35 minutes anymore. So you got to get that. I'm not a believer in Al Horford as much as people are. You know, I like Brogdon. I think he's not as high powered. I think you need microwavable offense for them sometime, mm-hmm, when they're lacking. And he's not that guy anymore. He's not quick. You could tell he's a little more stiff. He's slower. He's a little more jump shot-ish. He doesn't go to the cup a little more, hence what we talked about, the Celtics shooting threes. So I'm probably running back and tinker with a few more things.
I'm probably with you. And, I mean, you do got – we were asking earlier in the series if you got to fire Joe Mazzulla if they get swept in the embarrassing fashion, mm-hmm, that they did. You look at what he took over. We talked about Ime Udoka days before training camp.
Yep.
They get out to a 21-5 start. This dude stepping in as the head coach, they get off to a 21-5 start.
That wasn't his fault. They leave it to a couple people, Rami.
They win 57 regular season games.
That's balling.
In his first year as a head coach, and that was without, you mentioned Robert Williams, without him for 47 games. They dropped game 5 of the second round to fall behind to Philadelphia, 3-2. They come back, they win 6, they win 7, they close out that series. They fall down 0-3 against the Heat. They, yep, come back and make it a series and take it 7, almost being the first team in 151 tries to come back from down 0-3. The thing that concerns me, Jay, and I when I looked at the big picture and, mm-hmm, and what Mazzulla, the task he had ahead of him, it was a lot for a 34-year-old head, yes, coach taking his first job days before training camp starts. So he's not really the guy I really have a question about right now.
Okay.
It's the players. Mm. It's the guys who put on the uniform and go out there, and the fabric that they're made of. Like, what kind of players, what kind of people that they are. And the reason I say that, Jay, is you talk about, well, if Jason Tatum doesn't sprain his ankle, I could argue you should have never been in a game 7 for Jason Tatum to sprain his ankle in the first place.
Very true.
Because you were the better basketball team.
Very true.
And you let the Heat embarrass you for 3 games. Not just beat you, embarrass you. Jimmy Butler was clowning you,
yeah,
out there on the court for the first 3 games of that series. And then the other thing, and this is much bigger and bigger picture to me, they're 11-12 at home during their last 2 playoff runs.
Well, would you want to go play in Boston? The fact that I had to play, if I'm a player for the Celtics, the fact that I have to play in Boston, I would be like, ugh.
Jay, they're 11-12, including 3 losses in this series alone.
Yeah.
And I brought this up with Kyle and Chris in the crosstalk from Chris and Company. I don't know how, did you see the pregame hype video and the pregame
atmosphere? Yes, they talked about it. Oh, my
at TD
gosh.
Garden
it's
yesterday.
A nauseam, yeah.
Man, that place, and I know, yeah, Boston's obnoxious.
Of course.
I didn't enjoy it, but I'm just saying, that place was hype,
it was rocking.
Jay. And to come out and not just let that thing slip through your fingers. Let it slip through your fingers the way that it did. It was it was the Jekyll and Hyde thing again of the Celtics just not showing up. And for a moment like that, to not show up and to lose three home games in one series, to lose 12 home games in two playoff runs. That's the most playoff home losses over a two-year span in NBA history. That's never nobody's ever lost that many home games in 2 years of playoff basketball than the Boston Celtics did. They just, I don't know if it's one guy, two guys, if it's Brown or Tatum or the role players and the I don't know what it is, but something is off with this team where their character just isn't consistent enough.
Right.
To win a championship. Yeah. Or at least that's the way it seemed till now. We talk about they're young and Brown is 26, Tatum's 27. But, man, at some point, you just got to go, maybe this ain't going to work.
Yeah, it's not it.
And something needs to be shaken up. I didn't know they were that bad at home until I read it this morning.
Yeah, you make some great points, Rami. You make some great points. I know we have to break. There's just a few people. Like, Celtics fans, they're tied to some of these guys. Like, oh, Al Horford's this. Like, nah, Al Horford, nah, nah, he's not that. You need someone else, right? And I think that's part of me saying – take the small approach rather than the big approach. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, I think we continuously hear about Jaylen Brown, which is the big approach. And maybe you hit on something that I hadn't thought about. Maybe you replace Mazzulla and let him know he's the head coach in waiting, and you bring in a Monty Williams. You bring in a, you know, well, I can't do Nick Nurse, but a Budenholzer, someone who's kind of already proven. Mm-hmm. Let him get
who
one or two
what
in.
It takes. Yeah. He's been there and done it.
Absolutely.
I just don't know if a coach is the answer or the guy that's going to fix this thing, man. There might just be something. And I don't – they're all very good basketball. They've put together a hell of a roster. But so don't take this the wrong way. Just something rotten at the core of this thing. You know what I mean?
That Celtics.
That it just might not work. Yeah, and maybe it's just, you know.
Yeah, Celtics. I'm hating.
Boston's a terrible place. Right after this, this Jimmy G thing just keeps getting weirder and weirder. We'll tell you the latest wrinkle next.
Sactown Sports
Headlines.
I'm Simone with your Sactown Sports Headlines. Miami Heat closed out a contentious Eastern Conference Finals series against the Boston Celtics with a Game 7 win, 103-84, on Monday night, and will face the Denver Nuggets in the championship. The Heat are just the second 8 seed in NBA history to appear in a finals. Over in the Mile High City, Denver Nuggets will be debuting their first finals appearance with a little home court advantage as they host Game 1 of the championship series beginning Thursday evening. Golden State's Bob Myers, a two-time Executive of the Year and integral architect of the Warriors championship dynasty, is stepping down as the franchise's president and general manager, he announced earlier today. For the latest on this developing story, all things NBA Finals and NFL news and notes throughout the summer, head to SactownSports.com or tap into that Sactown Sports app.
Let's do it.
I'm Simone. Those are your Sactown Sports headlines. Welcome back into Cattles and Rami with Jay Johnson.
Your afternoon home for Kings Talk and more.
This is Cattles and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
That's the show. They said what? Coming up at 4:45, Jay in for Cattles, who will be back shortly. Still nothing nefarious or scandalous going on with Nick Cattles. Almost called Nick Candles. Just some business to take care of.
Nick Camels.
On the home front. And so we're holding down the fort here in the meantime. And wish Nick and the family the best and hope he gets back here as soon as he possibly can. It was late last week, I want to say Friday, that we learned that Jimmy Garoppolo's foot still broken when he signed to be a Las Vegas Raider. And we knew like something was weird because he showed up to sign the contract. And then he took his physical and
I'm out.
They did not sign the contract until the next day, but eventually did sign the contract. But we only learned late last week, like I said, with them reporting to OTAs and Jimmy not participating, that that foot that they thought would not require surgery, and he did require surgery. And so he's not quite ready yet.
Surprise.
They are telling us.
Pretty much.
They are telling us that he'll be ready for the regular season. That's the line that they're selling us. Nothing to see here. Nothing to worry about here, that he will be ready for the regular season. But we learned today, Jay, or maybe this was yesterday, from Tashaun Reed and Vic Tafur from The Athletic, that there is a clause, an addendum in Jimmy's contract with the Oakland Raiders. And I don't know if this is just the way it fell in alphabetical order or if this was for comedic effect. The clause is called Addendum G. And it is a waiver and release. And I'll spare you all the legal jargon and mumbo jumbo that I didn't understand while reading this and then having to go and find out what all this actually means. The Raiders are covering their ass.
Yes.
In the case that Jimmy Garoppolo isn't ready for the regular season,
yep,
they can basically get out of this contract. That's the long and the short of it. They can get out of the Jimmy G business if that foot isn't healed up and he can't pass a physical between now and September and the start of the regular season. JJ, this might just be like a worst-case scenario fail-safe for the Raiders, but I don't think you're doing this unless you feel like you need to do this.
Yep.
And there's a possibility that he might not be ready for the regular season, and they need to go and get a starting quarterback if they don't already have one in-house, and they're going to need that money to go and get whoever they might want to go out and get if that money is in-house. I'm not saying this is something today on May 30th, but I also can't sit here and say it's nothing.
Right.
You know, yeah. I can't go with this clause makes me think that maybe the Raiders aren't so sure about Jimmy G after all, and the quarterback market had just dried up by the time they found out about the foot, and they're like,
we're stuck.
What else are we going to do?
Right.
Let's sign this guy, and if he's not ready, we can get out.
Well, I'll say this for the Raiders. And as much as I, you know, have disdain and hate for the Raiders, they did something well, something good this time. They protected themselves. A lot of times the Raiders
win for haters.
Yeah, definitely. Take me to the ball because I'm in there, baby. I'm in there.
Shoe win for hater of the year.
Buck nasty and all. Okay, but you know they protected themselves. This is something they should do and they should have done. And it's a good job by Ziegler. It's a good job by the ownership, you know, group, and it's a good job by the front office. Jimmy G is going to be hurt. He stays hurt. There's something about him. He just can't go through a whole season that, you know, and play 17 games upright. And we knew there was something that was wrong with, and people wanted to, you know, challenge his manhood. Oh, man, jump in there in it. NFC Championship.
Remember, there were people who were like, oh, he could have played.
We probably knew something else wasn't right, and we knew it was wishful thinking from Kyle Shanahan and Lynch and the team to throw it out there. And they could have been just, you know, doing it for the ploy also to say, well, keep the other teams at bay. Like, Jimmy may come back. Jimmy may not. You know, Jimmy at no point was coming back. The dude wasn't even on the sideline to the last couple of games. And so for the Raiders, they're on point. I have no understanding why they even put their faith in Jimmy Garoppolo from the jump, because they signed him rather quickly after, you know, Carr and a couple other guys were poached. But there were some other quarterbacks that they could have ran after than Jimmy G. And I'm not exactly sure why they went that way, but they're reaping what they sow. And it's a great, again, for the Raiders organization, it's a good move for Jimmy G. It's a prove it and see move. Jimmy has to stay healthy. Sooner or later, you got to be upright and play a full season. And stop being coy about the situation. You know that foot was busted up.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Now, he didn't hide that from the team.
Well, agreed. But, I mean, look, we could have worked through that from the beginning, too.
Sure.
But we didn't have to put an addendum into that all of a sudden 3 months later.
The question now becomes with this clause and it seeming like a real possibility, because the clause is there. It wouldn't be there if it wasn't a real possibility. What do you do if he's not ready for the start of the regular season? You got 37-year-old Brian Hoyer.
Chase Garbers.
You got Aiden O'Connell, who was drafted in the fourth round this year. And somebody said that Aiden O'Connell, did you see this tweet last week? It was like his press photo.
Mm-hmm.
Did you tweet this out, Kyle? Somebody said he looked like a knockoff Derek Carr from a made-for-Hulu movie about the Josh McDaniels.
Oh, that's a different
Raiders.
One. I made a different joke saying, went kind of viral. I made a different joke saying he looks like the actor playing Derek Carr in a movie about Davante Adams.
Oh, that was a similar thread.
Yeah. So a lifetime pick.
Yes,
lifetime.
Exactly.
Okay, I got you. Where are you going?
Hallmark, yes.
You have Brian Hoyer or Aiden O'Connell or Jay?
Chase Garbers, baby.
You can hit the free agent market and you got Matt Ryan.
Okay.
Carson Wentz.
All right.
Or
who we got?
Huh? Raiders part owner.
Uh-oh.
Tom Brady coming down out of the owner's box to suit up for the Las Vegas Raiders.
I mean, literally what he tried to do with the Dolphins last year.
Yes, exactly. Any of those pique your interest if you're a Raiders fan?
Well, first of all, I'm not a Raiders fan.
I said if.
Well, I would never. I never want to even play. Position myself as a Raiders fan, so I don't even want to think. I don't want to play.
I'm watching.
Yeah, I don't want to be the. I don't want to be the knockoff Jay in the Hallmark movie. Play, watching for the Raiders fan. Give me Tommy B. Give me Brady.
Really?
Yeah, I'll take Tommy B. The unstrengthened arm.
I mean,
right
off
now.
This list,
yeah.
Sure.
At least he can throw, unlike Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz.
Who Teddy else are you going to get? I would go. I love Teddy B.
Teddy B.
I'm a big Teddy B. guy. I like supporter. I like Teddy B.
We got 41-year-old Phillip Rivers trying to get back in Teddy the NFL.
Teddy B. to me hasn't gotten a full shake, and injuries have always been his problem. He had Carolina rocking and rolling for a quick half of a season, and he got hurt again. Right?
Man, I'll tell you what, they love Teddy Bridgewater back in Minnesota.
A beast, man. He just
he's like a folk hero back there.
Just can't. He like Jimmy G. Can't stay healthy.
He's fine. You know what I mean? I never bought the hype with Teddy. But off this list, if you're talking about Carson Wentz, Matt
Teddy
Ryan,
B.
who did you just mention? Kyle, 38-year-old who?
Phillip Rivers.
Phillip Rivers?
No, you keep him.
He's asking people to get back in the league.
Right, man. Sign me.
Is Big Ben still looking to sign smoke?
Better stop.
Mason Rudolph hanging around somewhere?
No, give me Teddy Bridgewater. Or just go with Aiden O'Connell, tank, and go get your quarterback next year at the top of the draft.
I'm taking Teddy B or Tommy B.
I'm going with lifetime Derek Carr.
Dude, Devontae Adams is going to blow up. If Jimmy Garoppolo ain't even ready for the regular season, Devontae Adams is going to lose his mind.
Absolutely.
Fair exchange, no robbery. We'll take him and give you one of Ayuk or Debo. What do you want? Take your pick. Probably Ayuk because they kind of more in the form. You know, they kind of look
similar.
Sure,
the younger guy.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Go ahead.
Ayuk for Devontae Adams?
Right now.
Done deal.
Absolutely.
Let's do it.
For the boy.
Right after this, they said what? It's next on Cattles and Robbie.
You never know what you're going to get with an open mic. It's the good, bad, ugly, and funny from this past week in sports.
They said what?
On Cattles and Rami.
Every Tuesday at 4:45, we bring you some of the more notable quotes from around the world of sports. Some of the things that make you go, wait, they said what? That's why it's called They Said What?
What?
Here on Cattles and Rami. Jay in for Cattles today. Kyle over there, Simone in her usual seat on those updates and on the ones and twos. Giants and Brewers were going at it over the weekend. And the Brewers have a very good bullpen. That's kind of been one of their hallmarks over this stretch that they've been a playoff team.
No more hater.
A playoff even without Josh Hader. Still very, very good bullpen. And games are just about a wrap. If the Milwaukee Brewers are leading you after seven innings, as they were the San Francisco Giants, I believe this was on Thursday, and Sean Estes wanted to make a point of just how good the Brewers have been when leading after seven innings.
And there's a reason why the Brewers this year are 45-1 when they're leading after seven innings. That back into the bullpen has been really good for them.
That pitch is outside. What did you say the record was?
45-1.
But not this year. They haven't won 45 games yet.
Yeah, well, it's probably not 45 then.
It's not that I'm doubting your numbers, but when I heard that, I was like,
I'll tell you what they are.
They're 27-25, but they're 45-1.
They're that good after the seventh.
Amazing.
They have actually won more games than they've played.
1-2 to Anderson.
Who fed him that number?
Somebody was like,
who
make
fed
it
him?
Make sense. Oh, my God.
I still don't know what he was trying to say.
Maybe like in over the last 2 years.
Maybe.
Yeah, so, and someone didn't finish it out right.
I don't understand.
Kyle, can you make some sense of this?
I can. It's as simple as he got the number wrong. The stat is 22-1. He just said 45-1 for some reason.
Okay, but that's on.
Okay.
Yeah. All these booths have stat guys up in the booth.
Statisticians.
And they're maybe with technology, it's like going into some kind of messenger app, or they're just literally writing stuff down.
Oh, yeah. Most of the time, they just
passing notes to the player. Play by play-by-play guy and the color announcer. Somebody handed Sean Estes.
Right. He's like, oh, no, okay.
That the Brewers are 40, and he Ron Burgundy'd it. Yep. He just read whatever was in front of him and said 45-1.
Said, what did you say?
I like to imagine he just went rogue, and then as soon as he said it, the stats people were just frantically trying to find the answer.
That's wrong, Sean. Let me find you the right statistic.
They haven't even played 45 games.
No. That's what I'm saying.
Didn't Dave Fleming say they were like 28-27 or something?
Yeah, they're 27-25.
I love that pause. There was a good pause in the middle of that.
Okay,
bit.
Well, I guess they're not 45-1.
Underrated funny is Dave Fleming just going, and 1-2 pitch on the way, just rushing it off.
Gotta go.
Meanwhile, let's circle back around to some Raiders talk. And we mentioned Tom Brady in the last segment, coming down out of the owner's booth to save the Raiders if Jimmy G is not ready.
Please don't, Tom.
Josh McDaniels, another New England transplant coming over from the Patriots organization. And I guess he had to admit that the tuck rule was a fumble before they'd give him the head coaching job. And Josh McDaniels says, Tom Brady ain't special. Same rules apply to him.
Great history with the player and an even better one with the person. So it would obviously be a tremendous honor to partner up with him again.
You admitted that it was a fumble. You think he's got to admit it too to be able to buy
100%. 100%. No question.
He's not admitting that. Tom Brady will never.
Tom will never admit that. No.
And it wasn't a fumble.
It was a fumble, Rami.
It was a by the Ooh. Rule, by the book.
There was no book on it yet.
It wasn't a fumble. It wasn't. Like, bad rule, not a bad call. They got the right call with using a bad rule. That's not the referee's fault.
But was the rule on the books at the time?
I don't remember the exact wording.
Yes, and
there
then was, for the 2002 season, they got rid of it.
They changed it. There was some wording in the rule book then that made that a incomplete pass and not a fumble.
It was a fumble.
They made the right call.
I hate the Raiders. It was a fumble. I mean, it was.
I'm sorry. I don't think that it was. Meanwhile, we'll stick in the NFL and head back to my old stomping grounds of Chicago and Justin Fields, who could get a new contract this year if they want to extend him with 2 years left on the deal, as we've seen teams do with young franchise talent type of quarterbacks. He was asked about a possible new contract.
Every year's a big year. So, I mean, I don't really have anything to, you know, expand on that. But for me, every year's a big year, and I'm excited to show.
With the contract in particular.
With the what?
With the contract in particular.
I'm not worried about contracts. I'm worried about wins.
Oh, man, I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love that guy, Jay.
You know what?
Can they not break him?
He's putting up a fight. He's putting up a fight, Rami.
There's They're always mess hope. It up somehow.
You know what gets me, and I can't stand this with sports right now, is how far we're prognosticating contracts.
Yep.
I mean, the dude got drafted, and it was like, oh, he's got to get another contract. No,
he's
got
2 years into his NFL
like,
career.
Come on, man, let the dude play.
Yeah.
And they're asking him about a contract already.
That'll work itself out.
Yes.
If the man performs, he'll get paid.
He'll get paid.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, we're so worried about, you know, you got to worry about 3 years down the road, they're going to have to pay him. Well, that's 3 years. Lord willing.
We're at least a year out before any substantive contract talks happen between Justin Fields and the Bears, and maybe 2 years out.
Yes.
I'm not telling anybody how to do their job, but that's kind of a ridiculous question to be asking right now.
Two plus a team option. Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's 5 years you control the quarterback from the jump. Let the man play a little bit.
But I do love the answer. Can I just gush a little bit about how much I love Justin Fields?
And yes.
How I
Please. Hope, but and the floor is yours.
And how I hope the Bears don't break him, because they've been breaking quarterbacks my whole life. Like, I keep getting excited about guys, Jay. Rex Grossman.
Rex.
Jay Cutler.
Took you to the Super Bowl, baby.
You name them. Cade McNown.
Oh.
I got fired up. I was like, this is a guy.
Cade
this is finally
down.
Happening.
The
and
lefty.
What I realized, this was after Cutler, what I realized was these weren't all just bad quarterbacks who were destined to never succeed in the NFL. Like, some of them, maybe that was the case. No, this is an organizational problem.
Yeah.
And they just break quarterbacks. They get quarterbacks, and they break them. They don't give them support in terms of talent position players. They don't get them offensive lines. It's a constant revolving door at offensive coordinator because they insist on hiring defensive head coaches one after another after another. They finally go offense, and it's Matt Nagy who breaks Mitch Trubisky in the long tradition of breaking quarterbacks in Chicago. God, I hope they get it right with this
dude.
Yeah,
breaking quarterbacks may be the rule, but we're looking for the exception.
Oh, my God.
For Justin.
Can you do this man right? Can you do right by this man
probably
and get
not.
Him some help? Shut up, Kyle.
Question.
Yes.
To you, does Justin, can Justin, I play to win championships, right? I look
yes.
at people. To, can you win a championship with that person?
I think he has franchise-type talent.
Okay.
Given the right support system,
yeah.
the right environment,
okay.
he could do it.
That's a start, baby.
He could take us to the positive land.
Got a flashback of that kid. He was, like, closing his eyes and, like, can he go into, like, a quasi-meditative state?
Yeah. Actually, like... on National Mental Health Day, the Bears put out a video on Twitter, and it was a guided meditation voiced by Justin Fields.
Oh, that's wow. awesome.
Yeah, he's big in the meditation stuff. Not like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, no, no. It seemed very like, peaceful, yeah. what no. I remember. And I just remember, oh, he's turning on the lights right now. This is crazy.
I'm a believer in meditation myself. I'll go home and be meditating on my couch at about 6:05 this afternoon. Yes, sir. And finally, a guy who's a regular in They Said What. Maybe heard from more often than anybody in They Said What. This was... Pat Bev and the subject of dirty players came up on the Pat Bev podcast.
Anybody you would call a dirty player? Someone who?
No, I am.
Who? Who? Say it, bro.
Chris Paul? It's a shock when you say it in front of like people who's not in the basketball world, but when you say it in front of like basketball players and referees, even referees. Oh, okay. Yeah, that doesn't surprise, you know?
I've heard this before.
For sure.
I've heard this.
100 times.
People see the State Farm commercials. Mm-hmm. Great smile.
Yep.
Player representative for the Players Association.
Yep.
He's got a squeaky clean image.
President.
But you ask guys. Yeah, he's the president of the mm-hmm. Players. You ask guys around this league. Pat Bev ain't the only one saying that Chris Paul is one of, if not the dirtiest player in this league.
You know, one thing about it is, and this is going to sound bad, man. Look, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. I'm trying to win the championship, right? So as much as people give grief, Chris Paul is, I respect it. I respect the fact. Yeah, I respect it, though. He's trying to win. He's trying to get it. Look, he's not doing anything that's out of the ordinary, you know, mm-hmm. but if I'm going to throw a little elbow at you, I'm going to pull your shorts back here. I'm going to grab your strings on your shorts over that way. You know, I'm going to pinch you a little bit.
That type of stuff.
Trying to win,
yeah.
brother.
But I've seen a bunch of... shots to the nether region.
Yeah, that's a little different.
That's going a little
too far. That's called Mike Tyson punch out. I'm going to punch you out. But...